Welcome to another episode of Fountain City Sports Media, a podcast made by Kansas City fans for Kansas City fans. My name is Armando, a.k.a. Hot Take Mondo, and I'm joined by my friend Reese, a.k.a. the Reese Incarnate Bach Lesnar. Today we're going to talk about some off-season news. We're going to talk about some stadium news. A lot of stuff happening in Chiefs Kingdom, even though the Super Bowl is over, but we got the draft coming. We got free agency coming. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about, Reese. But before we do all that, how you doing, Reese? What's going on? How was your week?
You know, same week, same old, same old. It was really nice weather here, actually. I don't know how it was in Colorado, but we had like some unseasonably warm stuff. So I'm not mad. We had like a random hailstorm in like a day of 40 degrees on maybe it was Wednesday.
Hail? What? I don't even remember there being hail in Kansas City.
Hail's a big Kansas City thing. I think it has to do with like where they are. Yeah, we don't get it super often, but like I think in my life we got hail maybe like twice when I was up in like living in Iowa. And I think we've had it probably like, you know, I'd say at least once a year when I live in Kansas City.
The only hail damage that I've gotten has been here in Colorado. I don't remember my Versa getting shut down over there in Kansas City. Huh, I forgot.
Really? Well, that's a... yeah, dude, hail to the Chiefs and hail on the Chiefs. That's what we do in Kansas
also
City.
To be fair, I was like never there in the summer, and I know the summer is when they get like really bad storms. I remember Logan would call me. I'd be away on a gig, and she'd be like, yeah, we're down in the shelter for like, you know, the tornado watch or thunderstorm watch.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. It's crazy. But what about you? What you been up to?
Not much, actually. I don't even know what I've been doing. Actually, this weekend will be fun. I'm going to a Mandy Patinkin concert.
Oh, really? Mandy Patinkin?
Yeah, Logan's a huge Mandy Patinkin fan. For those of you that don't know, he's like a Broadway guy. But also he was, what was that show on HBO? Oh my goodness, why am I forgetting? Because I was just talking about it. Mandy Patinkin. Well, he was also on like CSI, or he was on Criminal Minds.
Wait, so is this like a stand-up show then?
No, it's like he's like a singing show.
Really? Singing show? Go figure.
Yeah, he's like a great singer, apparently. He was on Broadway and did all this stuff. Anyway, what was the... He had a show on Showtime. But anyway, you might know him from Criminal Minds.
Was he in Princess Bride?
Yes, he's also in Princess Bride.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, he was also the premiere of Sunday in the Park with George.
Really?
Sondheim, Sunday in the Park with George. Homeland! That was it on Showtime.
Okay.
He was like the lead guy on Homeland, and went to KU for undergrad.
Oh, really? He went to KU? No way.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, I went to KU undergrad and then Juilliard for his master's.
Okay. All right. Sweet.
Starred alongside Meryl Streep in something in the 70s, and then it kind of blew up from there. So that's cool.
That is pretty cool. Good for him.
So yeah, it'll be a fun weekend. We haven't gone to a show probably since Theo was born. So that'll be a nice little night out for Logan and I. Other than that, I hit up Weldworks again. I did that with my neighbor on Wednesday night. My buddy, I still have like one guy that I know that still works there. So
yeah.
He treated us, man. We had some really great beers. They actually have one of my favorite beers back in. It's a Triple Juicy Diamonds, which is a collab with Other Half in Brooklyn. And it's a triple IPA, and like it is so fire. I don't know. It's like 11-12%, so I just had a little bit of it. But yeah, that's actually one of my favorite beers, so I was able to have that, and they have a really nice Pilsner, so just down in that, and it was nice, because my neighbor, he's new to the area. Well, he's from Fort Collins, but he's new to Alt, so he made some connections, we met some people. It was a lot of fun, man.
Dude, you went back to the Welly World, dude.
Welly World, man, and they have like 10 different IPAs, and I'm just like, I can't keep up anymore. We should have Clark on, though. So my friend Clark, he used to work in the tap room, now he works marketing, and him and I actually had a really great conversation about the future of beer and like what beer looks like right now. Mm-hmm. And I know those are things that we talked about, but he has like the numbers right in front of him, and yeah, I won't spoil it, so we can have him on one day so he can kind of talk about what's happening in the beer world and what like Weldworks is doing a lot of pivoting and doing a lot of like new innovation and creation to kind of keep this group of people in there. So anyway, for those of you that are just joining us, that we are also, not only are we a Kansas City Chiefs pod, but we're also a beer pod. Reese and I used to work in the beer industry. As I just alluded to, I worked at Weldworks Brewing in Greeley, Colorado. So not only do we talk about the Chiefs, but we'll also have some people on in the beer industry to talk about beer, which I think makes us stand out in the Kansas City market of the Kansas City Chiefs. Before we get to all of that stuff, Reese, how can they donate on Patreon, or how can they follow us on social media so that they can hear all the great things that we're doing?
If you like what's going on here and you want to hear about the future of beer, well, then you need to hop on to patreon.com/FCSM. And for the price of one, I think now probably it's called a quick trip, one quick trip cup of coffee a month, you can sponsor us and get access to premium content.
Royals official official sponsor.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But
we will?
Yeah. Anyway, so patreon.com/FCSM. There's so much good stuff there. Just check it out yourself and decide if you want to become a member. Otherwise, you should check out our Instagram at FountainCitySM to get updates on the podcast and memes and all that fun stuff. So check us out. And also, you know, don't forget, if you're listening to this podcast right now, it'll take you literally 10 seconds. I bet you 10 seconds to go and click follow if you're not already following on this podcast. It'll take you another 5 seconds to rate this podcast. So that's my challenge. Spring cleaning. Do some initiatives and follow and like this podcast.
Speaking about some spring cleaning, Reese, it looks like Arrowhead Stadium is trying to do some spring cleaning and trying to reimagine the stadium. So I'll talk about this a little bit, and then Reese, I want your reaction. So the Kansas City Chiefs said that they're doing a renovation to Arrowhead Stadium, but also the surrounding area. And the renovation is going to include the following, Reese: a new turf-covered activation zone with tailgate areas, an upper concourse connection bridge, an upper concourse canopy, VIP stadium entry points, sideline clubs, new video boards, and upgraded TV, Wi-Fi, and DAS systems. Not to mention also a new end zone club and suite, which will introduce new viewing hospitality experiences and now common in newer NFL venues. So Reese, I know we've been waiting for this for a while. There's been some chatter about what it was supposed to be, and now that we know what it is, as a Kansas City Chiefs fan, what's your reaction?
I think the best way to talk about this is actually going a little bit beyond the Arrowhead Stadium thing. So have you heard about
Taylor Swift?
Well, you know about the Royals moving their stadium to the Crossroads, right? So that's huge.
We're doing that, and they're demolishing Royal Stadium, correct?
Correct. So the plan is right now that there is a 3/8 cent sales tax for the members of Jackson County, which is, I think, the county that technically has most of the downtown in it. And that sales tax is going to be extended pending a new vote. The sales tax pays for the Truman Sports Complex, so Arrowhead, Kauffman Stadium, all the parking lot in that whole area. That's what it pays for. So the Royals have said, we want a new stadium downtown in Jackson County. And in doing so, we need you to vote yes on extending this 3/8 cent sales tax. So it's not a new tax. You're not going to feel more money coming out of your paycheck. It's just a 3/8 cent sales tax. Now, the big thing is, Kauffman Stadium is actually not in that bad of a shape as far as the fans are concerned. Like, it's, you don't go there and think you're at the Coliseum in Oakland, you know, or like Minute Maid Park in Tampa Bay. It's a very nice stadium. I think you
could, so what's going on with this bad concrete versus good concrete?
So according to, I think it was Mark Donovan in the Arrowhead renovations announcement, he just said it comes down to the fact that Kauffman got a bad batch of concrete, Arrowhead didn't. Now, you'll have to take him at face value on that. I'm not an expert. I haven't seen these things. I suppose it's possible. It sounds like a bit of PR. So here's the thing, though. As I mentioned,
and that's why we have concrete expert Julio Gonzalez right here. No,
yeah, right. I wish. So the issue is, fans in general don't think we need a new Kauffman Stadium and don't necessarily want a new Kauffman Stadium. And where they're planning on putting it now in the crossroads is going to displace a ton of businesses and apartment buildings. So the general consensus was, I'm going to vote no on this. Not me, but just like the fans. Now, Arrowhead made this announcement because kind of the plan is they don't think the Royals bill was going to pass unless there was something tagged on to the Chiefs. Because not only is Kauffman Stadium fine for most fans, the Royals are terrible. So why are we going to give a terrible team money for a big fancy new stadium? So when the Chiefs attached themselves to this, the thought was, oh good, the Chiefs. I'll give my money to the Chiefs who are great, have always been great, and are now like incredibly great. So here brings us full circle to you asking my opinion on this project. I think this project is shockingly underwhelming because you've probably even heard this, you know, having your KC connections, that the big things that were projected for Arrowhead in no particular order was some kind of roof, be it a rolling roof, a canopy, a openable roof, something like SoFi slash Tennessee's new stadium where like you build a like a structure over the stadium, but it's still open air. The other things were talking about developing the land on the Truman Sports Complex now that Arrowhead or now that Kauffman was going to be gone, so they'd build some sort of entertainment district out there, you know, like a Wrigleyville or a Title Town or something or other like that. And then there were some other nice, like, cost of living, so to say, quality of life things that they were going to add to the stadium projected. So the fact that we got none of those in this listing, and this basically boils down to 16,000 new parking spaces, a fancy bridge to walk across the highway, bigger jumbotrons, and more suites for super rich people that are already pricing out average fans. This, if I lived in Jackson County and was voting on this, because I don't get a vote, I'm in Platt technically, like I would probably vote no on this.
Yeah, it when going through all of the upgrades, like you said, VIP stadium entry points, sideline clubs, end zone clubs and suites, and then there was something else. All of those are for like the 5%ers, right? The 3%ers that don't make up a lot of the Kansas City fan base. This is very exclusive. Again, if you want county money, right, this should be for the county members. This is not for county members. This is for Taylor Swift and her entourage. This is for people that live in Leawood, right?
Yep.
So that's pretty underwhelming. And like you say, I think the biggest thing for me is what you nailed, talking about how we thought that where Royal Stadium was supposed to be this imitation of Wrigleyville or something where people can hang out, because a lot of people don't live in that area, right? So if they're able to make a whole day out of it, able to hit the bars or even afterward, right? Hit the bars, you know, the stores, having a complex there would be really cool and really great for Chiefs fans that maybe live far away. But having an activation zone, which essentially means it's going to cost more for us, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to go into the activation zone and pay twice as much as you were paying for parking, right? It's good that there's more parking, but again, this is more of like a monetary move for the Kansas City Chiefs because they're going to make more money doing that. So it's not necessarily that the everyday fan, the Kansas City fan who is going to be voting for this is going to have their enhanced experience. They're probably going to have to pay more out of pocket for essentially what? A new tailgate area so they can smoke more meat? Like, come on, they were already doing that. They were already, you know, the true fans were already there at 5 a.m. for a 7 p.m., you know, Sunday night game. So yeah, I'm pretty overwhelmed as well. I understand these are important upgrades, but the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs are winning, they have cash flow, right? Like it's not like because of, you know, winning Super Bowls and Taylor Swift, we don't have any more money. There's definitely money to go around. Why not enhance the experience, get more people to come to the stadium as opposed to, you know, the elite are getting more money and now people are going to have to pay more for parking?
Well, my thing too is a lot of these updates are kind of pointless. Like, more parking spots, yes. Like you mentioned, the fan activation zone, dumb. The jumbotrons are going to be 3 and 4 times bigger than they were. I've never looked at the jumbotrons at Arrowhead and said, man, those are so small. These suck. These need to be bigger. Dude, no. This isn't like the 90s anymore.
Or like Audio Tech. Like, no one cares. It's the loudest stadium in America. Why would you have to enhance any volume to make it like even cooler? It is already like... audibly, it is the coolest stadium in America. Like, you don't have to spend the money there. Spend it on experiences where, you know, you can enhance outside of the stadium.
And honestly, some of these are nice, like more parking and easier time to get out of the stadium. Nice. They talked about making better cell reception and Wi-Fi for people. Nice.
Fine, yeah.
The full concourse that'll go around the upper deck, that will be nice, because before,
yeah,
now,
because when it's cold as hell, right?
Yeah, easier than having to like go down a level, cross, and then go back up a level. I appreciate those things, but when you look at the entire kit and caboodle, and you look at the stadium renderings, it's like this costs $500 million. This is what $500 million is going to get us. No.
Right. If I'm Clark Hunt, I would rather buy a MLS team and then make a profit from there with $500 million than, right, get space heaters for the concourse.
Well, and in conjunction with the report card that recently came out, you know, I'm not throwing him under the bus, because I think it was Jeff Schwartz pointed out that like 7 of the last Super Bowl winning teams had GMs that ranked like... in the bottom, sure, 10 or something like that. So that's not correlation to a good GM spends money on the stadium. But we do all know that Arrowhead is the second oldest stadium in the NFL, and times have changed since then. The locker rooms do need to be improved. I think they do need a better practice facility by the stadium. There are things like that that need to be built around Arrowhead rather than bigger jumbotrons and these super underwhelming wooden decks in the end zone. The Vegas stadium's concourses, or what do you want to call those, VIP things on the floor, work because they look like a club. No one wants, right, to sit on a fake deck in Arrowhead.
In Kansas City, right. And like in December when it's negative, you know, the coldest game in NFL history, you're not going to be wanting to make it rain down there.
You know, I think kind of the last thing I want to touch on too is that, you know, being a non-Kansas City, and this is hard for me to understand, but, you know, Kansas City, the metro of Kansas City, which overlaps Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas, is composed of four main counties they call the Core Four. You got Jackson, which is where the sports complex currently is. You have, what is it, Wyandotte and Johnson, which are both on the KCK side. And then you have Clay County, which is kind of the North Kansas City quadrant of the metro. And what's so weird to me is on the radio and in message boards and on Reddit, you see all these people talking about like Kansas City's going to lose the Chiefs, or like we're going to lose the Royals. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe the Royals would get bought by somebody. But when they say that, they're talking about the teams moving out of Jackson County and into one of those other counties. And to me, it's like, this isn't like when the Niners moved out to Santa Clara and you got to drive like a full hour on the interstate to get out to the stadium now. Now, Johnson County, where the Legends is in Sporting KC, yeah, that's a bit of a drive and kind of like a now, yeah, leaving the metro area. But I don't get where locals get so dramatic that if the teams aren't located in Jackson, that they're not in Kansas City. Because Raytown Independence, yeah, is already far away from the downtown. I feel like where I am in Platt is closer to the downtown than Raytown Independence.
Which technically it's not, right? Raytown's closer.
It's probably closer technically, but I mean, when I go to the stadiums, case in point, it doesn't feel like I am in downtown Kansas City, or like,
right,
it feels like I'm outside the city off of the interstate somewhere. So I... You know, if the Royals move to Tennessee or the Royals move to North Carolina or something like that, that is losing a team. Having them, right, go to Johnson County or Wyandotte County or Clay County is not losing the team. Get over it, guys.
Yeah, And if you're right, and if you're a true fan, it doesn't matter what county it is. Like you'll make your way to a Royals game, and you'll feel not excluded in that. Why don't we leave it there with some Arrowhead renovation talk? Yeah, I think both of us are pretty underwhelmed by the renovations. We understand what they're doing, but would have been nice to have some more features. Maybe in the future we'll have that when we win our 6th and 7th championship. Yep. But moving along, in order to have all those championships, Reese, we have to make some cuts in the salary cap. So Reese, let's talk about our first salary cap casualty, and that's your boy. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been cut from the Kansas City Chiefs. That decision creates $12 million in cap space, only $2 million in dead money for that cut. So, Reese, how sad are you that we couldn't get a deal done with your boy, MVS?
So someone put together his highlights of his 2 years in Kansas City, and I have to say, I'm just like, bro, we paid $12 million a year for that. Are you serious? He had, what, 3 touchdowns? I think I'm almost more shocked that he had 1,000 yards between the 2 seasons. I would have guessed like 700 or 750 or something like that, because the dude was a ghost his entire time here. He was a ghost. But, you know, I understand. I think it's a courtesy of the Chiefs to get rid of him early in free agency so he has more time to find another team. Because I'm hard-pressed to say he'll be out of the league after this year. But what do you think the market even looks like for a Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
I don't think it looks like $12 million, because if you look at who's on the market for 12 mil, it's Hollywood Brown, it's people of that stature. I think maybe, I know you said that you wanted to cut a deal for $3 million. I don't think he's going to go that far down because of his playoff production. So I say maybe in the $5 to $7 to $10 million range, I can see a team that is maybe one wide receiver away from being a playoff team or from being a Super Bowl contender. No, I can't even speculate right now. But I'm sure there's teams on the market that have the cap space. I think they would definitely make a move. I don't think that MVS's time is done. Very underwhelming. I know you brought up the 1,000 yards in 2 years. How about we just look at last year, Reese? Regular season, 315 yards for the entire season with one touchdown, Reese. I mean, those are horrible numbers. Those are not even vet min numbers. So I'm appreciative of what he did, right? He had a Super Bowl touchdown, 128 yards during the playoffs, which is like half of his production for the entire year. So I think he did a great job in the playoffs, but absolutely we can't pay someone $12 million. I mean, Sammy Watkins did a better job than MVS did with, you know, similar type of money. So I'm not going to miss MVS. I think this is a great move for us to clear cap. Again, I know Mike Evans is probably going to go for more than $12 million, but if like it's Hollywood Brown money, I mean, it's a pretty logical situation to that. If we got a guy like Hollywood Brown, I know he's not your favorite, but he is a clear upgrade from MVS if we do get him for the exact same price. So excited about the move. Thank you for all the good times. But yeah, it was never going to work out, MVS. Because you're not going to get a positive quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and a positive head coach like Andy Reid ever again to let you just keep going game after game after game, you know, getting F's, dropping balls, and they still come back at you. The chances that another team does that is very, very, very slim.
Well, I mean, and the fact is, too, like he's kind of shot himself in the foot market-wise, because you've seen all you can see out of MVS now. You've had Aaron Rodgers. You've had Patrick Mahomes. You've had Andy Reid. Like, there's no upgrade from there except maybe going to, like, Sean McVay, who seems to be good at getting the most out of some wide receivers. So, I don't know. Maybe they pick him up, but
yeah, the Rams. I was gonna say Rams are actually a good team.
It's also important to remember too. We signed MVS in that the summer of the wide receiver, when like Christian Kirk screwed everything up by getting like $20 million a year, whatever it was, and
right, yeah.
And I think Tyreek and Adams both reset the wide 40, receiver market. So it was a silly summer. We signed him out of happenstance. I hope that won't happen again.
So bye-bye MVS. And yeah, it looks like the market will be a little bit better. I think Mike Williams is projected closer to 20 million. We have Hollywood Brown around 15, 12. And then I think like Josh Reynolds, who is the third wide receiver in the Lions, is going for like 4 or 5 mil. So we'll talk about that maybe another day. But see you later, MVS. Create some cap space, which now brings up our two coveted re-signings that we're hoping to get done, or at least one of them done, in L'Jarius Sneed and Chris Jones. The Kansas City Chiefs announced this week that they have placed L'Jarius Sneed on a franchise tag, which I think is equivalent to about 16 mil. They're waiting to get a deal done, and if the deal cannot get done, then they will be trading L'Jarius Sneed. All roads unfortunately lead to that they're probably going to let go of L'Jarius Sneed because they're not going to get a deal done, because L'Jarius Sneed is going to be top of the market money and top of the market value in the cornerback sphere. So Reese, if that happens, it looks like there will be a deal done, or there is an immediate deal that might get done with Chris Jones. What are your thoughts about franchise tagging L'Jarius Sneed? Actually, let's just start there. L'Jarius Sneed, franchise tagging him. If we can't get a deal done, what does that money look like? If we can't get a deal done, then what should we get back for L'Jarius Sneed?
I would be very surprised if we got a deal done with L'Jarius Sneed. I think he's just going to cost too much, especially in a position where, like we pointed out, we got three dudes waiting in the wing. I'm not saying they're L'Jarius Sneed level, but we've seen Jalen Watson, Nazi Johnson, and just... No, hold on. I always get this screwed up.
Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams.
Joshua Williams. Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, and then the wide receiver we have, who is also Watson, who confuses me. Anyway, we got
Justin.
We got three dudes waiting in the wing here that can step in for L'Jarius Sneed. So looking at our cap situation, I saw a chart pointed out of like, if Chris Jones gets the projected $30 million he asked for, what we're looking at in contracts this next year, I think I've seen Sneed's number projected between 16 and 19 on the cap. It's just going to wipe all the goodwill we have out if we have that on our payroll. So I really think we flip L'Jarius Sneed. He could be a draft day flip, potentially. I would guess we probably get a second, a fourth, and then like maybe like a, you know, seventh round Peanuts and Cracker Jacks pick as well. But I don't think we're getting a first for him, but it would be cool if we got a first for him.
Yeah, there's a world where maybe the 49ers trade us the 29th pick for L'Jarius Sneed. There's a small world there. But I do want to do a cautionary tale here, because I've been listening to a lot of radio and reading a lot of articles, and no one's talking about, once we let L'Jarius Sneed go, this elite defense, I think, is over.
Yeah.
I think we're a good defense, but the team that we created in 2023-2024 season will be no longer. And even though we can put Trent McDuffie in the Sneed role, and we maybe put a Jalen Watson in the Trent McDuffie role, we go from a great defense to probably a good defense. Like I've said in the past, L'Jarius Sneed was the foundation for this. We needed him to shadow elite receivers so that we can bring blitz packages, so that we can figure out the defensive line the entire year, right? The defensive line wasn't necessarily elite, but they had time when, you know, Sneed can shadow Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, all these guys, right? So I do want to say that if we do go in this direction, our offense better get better. Like it has to tremendously get better, or else there's no way we three-peat. Like, this move is so important that there has to be a plan in place that this offense elevates. And it's not as simple as we sign a Marquise Brown. It's not as simple as we get Adonai Mitchell or Troy Franklin or Ladd McConkey in the first round. It's not as simple as that anymore, because we lose a foundational piece on defense that carried this team to the Super Bowl. And if we're wanting to three-peat, then this offense has to be legit. And again, of course, it's legit because we have Patrick Mahomes, but look what happened this year. So I just hope that that front offense is saying, or the front office is saying, okay, we can't, We can't re-sign Sneed. We're going to trade him. Our focus has to be to elevate this offense to another level. And it that has to be the sole focus, because again, Trent McDuffie is amazing, but Trent McDuffie, I don't know if he can shadow Tyreek Adams and have the same production. So that's just my cautionary Rasputin Nostradamus cautionary tale here to make sure that we get all those things situated. But like you said, we're probably going to get a second for Snead. That's usually the market for a quarterback, unfortunately. But we do free up some cap space, which then leads me to my second point. Chris Jones, when do you think this deal is going to get done, and what does it look like?
You know what's funny is all of these people saying the Chris Jones is going to get re-signed like it's a done deal. Does anyone have hard evidence that this is going to be a done deal, or is this just everyone assuming and saying it's fact because they assume?
I have heard a couple people that have said they've talked to the two Tweedledee and Tweedledum, saying that they're pretty motivated. Same with Brett Veach. And actually, because of last year, because they didn't get a deal done, and because Chris Jones did not get the money that he wanted, everyone has an incentive to get a deal done sooner than later because they don't want the same thing that happened last year. But to your point, Reese, there isn't really anything concrete. I think two reporters have said that they've talked to both camps, but nothing in stone. You're right.
Because if you remember last year, people were saying, well, you know, Chris Jones will probably get paid the second most outside of Aaron Donald, and that's going to look like $27.5-28 million. And what does Chris Jones do?
No more.
He comes out saying, I want $30-33 million. Yeah. So now that the cap's gone up, people say, oh, well, now we have $30 million to give Chris Jones. Seeing how Chris Jones acted last year, how do we know Chris Jones isn't going to say, well, the cap's gone up, so my number's gone up. I want $33-35 million.
Yeah.
Would you put it past him?
He could. I just don't see him getting that equivalent in the market. I don't think anybody at this point, especially at his age and his agents, now that people know who they are, is going to get that type of money, 35. I don't know anybody that is going to give him that money. So he might have that posturing. But again, we've seen drunk Chris Jones saying, I don't care, let's get a deal done. And hopefully that plays into it and we give him 29.
He said,
which I think is even the franchise tag. Like, we can just franchise him for the exact same money.
He said the same thing last year, though, that I want to be a Kansas City Chief forever, that I won't play for anybody but the Chiefs. It's like, the thing I'm not sure he understands is, like, saying that isn't some sort of verbal automatic agreement of you have to give me a contract now.
Auto sign.
Like, it's not how that works. So I am very glass half empty on this being a done deal until I see more concrete evidence coming out that, like, you know, Jones and Co. have been having conversations and doing this, this, and that. So,
man, if we don't get Snead back and Chris Jones back, and we roll with a group of, you know, Karlaftis, maybe a second round pick in defensive line, and we roll out with Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson, we're in trouble, Reese. Like, we're in big trouble. We gotta sign one of those dudes, and if that doesn't happen, not that Brett Veach's, like, job is on the line, but man, like, that would be an all-time fail if they can't get one of those guys, and they have the money to do so. So I'd be pretty scared. I'd be pretty scared as a Chiefs fan.
You know what? This might not be fair of me to say, but it's my opinion. This deal will get done if Chris Jones wants this deal to get done.
Fair.
Like, I think he understands now. The Chiefs have taken care of him. The Chiefs have given him plenty of big money. The Chiefs would like him back. At this point, I don't think the Chiefs are going to be like, well, Chris, we'll give you 26, or, well, Chris, we'll give you 27, and, like, that's going to be it. But it's going to be like, dude, if you asked for 30 last year, with the cap going up, you're going to take 30 this year. We'll sign you for, like, 3 years if you want, which, in my opinion, is totally fair.
Yeah, yeah.
But at a certain point, dude, you don't always get your way in every last dollar and cent. And I think the compromises are going to have to come from his end. And not saying he has to take short end of a stick or get cheated, because I don't think he will, but I think the compromises will have to get done on his end.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think that Chris Jones can even supersede his agents and say, look, last year did not work, guys. Like that, we didn't get the money we wanted. And we were bad with the fans, bad with Chiefs, bad with the locker room. That all can't happen again. So I can see, like you said, it could come down to Chris Jones, you know, Brett Veach giving the offer, then his agents, you know, trying to backtrack. But Chris Jones can say, no, let's get this deal done. I need to be at training camp. I need to be with the guys. We're trying to three-peat. So hopefully that happens, Reese. But like you said, not sure what's going to happen there. All right, Reese, anything else before we wrap up? Again, this is a little shorter pod today just because we don't have a lot of content and we don't really know what's going to happen with this, you know, the Snead contract with the CJ contract. So things just kind of up in the air. Anything else, Reese?
Yeah, in these last couple minutes we have, you watching the combine this weekend?
Oh yeah, man! I love me some Darius Robinson.
Ooh,
yeah,
Darius
who met
Robinson.
With the Chiefs,
dude? Did he really?
Yeah. Darius Robinson met with the Chiefs. So watch out, Reese. Watch out for a day one going without a wide receiver, going without cornerback, re-signing Chris Jones, getting Darius Robinson. How mad would you be?
I still think we need major help at wide receiver. And it's funny you mentioned him earlier. Actually, Adonai Williams is one dude I'm keeping an eye out for.
Mitchell.
I'm sorry. Adonai Mitchell is one dude I'm keeping an eye out for here.
Yeah.
I think he's got good hips. He's got good ball tracking skills. And he had, a 1% drop rate last year, which is like super elite.
Oh, that's amazing.
And he also is technically kind of like a big body wide receiver. Isn't he kind of like a big 6'3 type dude?
I haven't watched a lot of film on him just from what I've seen. Yeah, he's a little bit bigger, but he doesn't jump out on the film, but yeah, I guess he's a little bigger.
But he's kind of like someone the Chargers would draft size-wise, right?
Oh, sure, like a Mike Williams. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that type of dude, which, again, we're sorely lacking, so... I want to see how he does. I want to see how he performs.
Watch him. Xavier Worthy tape too. I was kind of what I want to say. I was sleeping on Xavier Worthy, but I've been watching a couple things from him, and he has some Tyreek in him, dude. And if he's dropping in the second round, we can get maybe a corner in the first and get Xavier Worthy in the second.
Ugh.
Just a thought.
Corner in the first. Oh my god.
Well, just because, like, again, we can go on for hours about this. We can talk about it later, but like, I don't know if Jalen Watson cornerback 2 is the answer, especially in the playoffs. Like, they're good, but man, if we can get a corner, and corners are going really late this year, if we can get a good corner late, why not?
I think Trent McDuffie is our technician and L'Jarius Sneed was our enforcer. I think we just need to find someone, whether they're in-house or otherwise, to be the physical enforcer, and I'll feel better about that backfield.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Shamari Connor either. I mean, Shamari played really well, so we'll see, man. We'll see what happens in Chiefs Kingdom. Glad we talked about a lot of great stuff today. The renovation, CJ and Sneed. Stay tuned for next week. We might have a special guest on. We're going to go straight into the draft. We'll talk about some prospects. We've already kind of talked about a few, but next week we'll dive right into it, right? What are some wide receivers we can look at? Are there going to be some sleepers at the end of the first round that we can snag? So a lot of great content coming up. Stay tuned. Please stay with us during the offseason. And a lot of great stuff there. And if you like what we're doing, donate on Patreon. But until then, let's do a nice little Let's Go Chiefs, and we'll see you next week, baby. 3, 2, 1.
Let's
go. Let's go. Let's keep that in. That was funny. 3, 2, 1.
Let's
go.
Chiefs. I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Fountain City Sports Media. This podcast is brought to you by listener support, so consider becoming a friend of the podcast. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/FCSM to gain access to premium content including outtakes, bonus episodes, and exclusive beer reviews. Check out our website at fountaincitysportsmedia.com for more info on the podcast, social media, and of course, the goings-on in the beer industry. Special thanks to bands Carswell and Hope and Like a Tiger for providing our intro and outro themes. And as always, I'm Reese, and alongside my good friend Armando, we thank you for tuning in to Fountain City Sports Media.